Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 367. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. At the end of the program, she'll tell you four ways how to receive a free copy of it. Postage and handling is taken care of. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have some music. We've got a very powerful message today, very powerful. And we've got some powerful testimonies. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, I always trust You. You love a sincere prayer that's from the heart. It's very vexing to You to hear just words and not words that come from the Spirit. We communicate, You communicate to us with Your Spirit, and we are able to communicate back on the same telephone line, Your Holy Spirit to You. And Lord, I sincerely pray in a sincere way, sincerely, that You anoint this program. You know the condition of this world a lot better than anyone in the whole world or all the people in the world put together. You know the way that the Vatican is promoting and doing a promotion and has their fingers in everything in this world. And how they are destroying wonderfully the people of this earth by there's so many ways that they come at people that there's just one. When you get one point to them through me, then there's 100 other points to get to each and every individual, maybe even thousands of points that have to do with the same thing. But Lord, we pray that You will anoint me right now and open the hearts and the spirits and the souls of everyone out in radio land, and that they will be able to understand and receive the spiritual messages, because they're carnal. But open up, close off the carnal part of their minds, their hearts, their spirits, their souls, so that they can, for once or maybe many times in their life, receive something from You, from the Holy Spirit. That their souls might be saved and that the church might be strengthened and brought back to loving You again, because they've lost their first love. They don't love You anymore. They don't love the brethren. And so we pray that You'll do this, that in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, as I promised, we have some music here. And we're going to start out today with I'm singing Onward, Christian Soldiers, because we have to go onward. We have to continue on to the end if we want to be saved. The Bible says those that continue to the end, not those that just get saved for a while, but those that continue to the end shall be saved. And here I am singing Onward, Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the
going on before.
A lot of Christians down through the ages that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ even to the death. They were crucified by the Roman soldiers, by Catholicism, in the Colosseums, and they really would feed them to the lions, and some of them that would not give up their faith in Jesus and the Word of God, they would burn at the stake. And this is just a very cruel political organization that wants so much to make people believe that they are the true church and that every other church in the world is a cult. And that isn't the way the Bible tells you to convince people to believe. And the Bible tells you to preach the word to them. And the power of God incorporated within the word of God is what causes people to get saved. That should turn anybody off. I have so many people tell me that they know that the Vatican is evil, that the government is a product of the Vatican, Satan, and that the media is the same thing, but they're so afraid of Satan, so afraid of being fed to the lions, so to speak, in other words, sent to prison like I was for the gospel, and also that they're so afraid to be murdered by them and persecuted by them and lose their jobs because of them and all the different persecutions that have emanated from the Vatican. Actually, the Bible says that the Vatican is powered by the spirit of Satan, the great red dragon, the devil. And, you know, people don't believe there's a devil, then somebody's pretty bad in this world. You take a look around you. That certainly isn't the Lord that's causing all the things that are happening. It is happening from Satan, and he lives in people just as the Lord lives in people. See, there's only two spirits in the world. One is the spirit of the Lord, and the other is the spirit of Satan. And whether you know it or not, you're operating under one of these spirits. If you're fearful and unbelieving the Bible, God's Word, the Spirit of God says you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, where there's it's like fire and brimstone, and you're going to be yelling your head off for eternity, chewing on your tongue, gnashing your teeth, and trying to get out, but there's no exit in hell. But if you're in the Spirit of the Lord, then you're in the Spirit with Jesus. Jesus is the head of the kingdom of heaven, and we are the body. He has made us a body of heavenly people, and we must make strong statement in this world. Our life must be a strong statement. Jesus brought everything to the table that was God, and he said if we want to be in the kingdom of heaven with him, that we must bring everything to the table ourselves that he did. So it's a certain kind of life we have to live, a regenerated life. A life that no longer is the same as the life that we lived before. So there's a certain kind of life must have a certain kind of living. If you say you're a Christian, you must live as Christ lived, and the spirit that enters into you, which is Christ with his Father by the Spirit, it gives you the power to be able to live that certain kind of life, that regenerated kind of life. If a man or a woman is regenerated, he attains a regenerated life, a complete spiritual life, a life that no longer pays any attention to the flesh, a life that, this new kind of life, is a saved life, a born again of the Spirit life, a life that is spiritual, not the old life of being carnal, with the carnal nature. You won't lie anymore. You won't lie. And, you know, the Vatican and the people that are not regenerated, they lie all the time. And the Bible says, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So you don't live the old kind of life of being carnal, with the carnal nature. The carnal nature. What is the carnal nature? The carnal nature comes to an end. The life you loved to live before, you now hate. And it's a supernatural thing that happens. Once a man is saved, he will have this change of affection. I mean, the things that you loved before, you'll now hate. Man, you love to go out and have sex with anybody that you wanted to. You went out drinking and boozing and taking drugs and alcohol. And just anybody, it doesn't make any difference if they're fat or skinny or tall or short. Just anybody to have sex with. And it follows that the person will have a good ending of the past. You put a screeching halt to the past, the Lord says. The Lord didn't sin, and he will not allow anyone into the kingdom of heaven that has sin on their soul. So there's a reason for the clearance of the past. It has to be cleared away once and for all. It can't be like grass. When you cut it, it comes back. It has to be a clearance, a complete clearance of the past. It's like the Holy Spirit poisons everything of the past. It puts it to death. It mortifies it. The clearance of the past is not based on the demand of outward regulations and rules, but on the sense of life within us. Because Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, now lives in us. In this, we're walking in the Spirit now. The Holy Spirit that enters into us, Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, just murders all the desires of the past. He doesn't like the past life that we live, but he doesn't. He likes us. He loves us so much that he died and went to the cross and gave up his life and his blood for us. So even though previously, several different point out several different ways actually for which must necessarily be ended, yet these only enable us to recognize principles. That's what it does. We have carnal principles, and the Lord has spiritual principles. It's good to know what you've done and what's happening inside your human body. There are not rules which demand that we put an end to such in matters that we can read in detail as it happens within us. When we are by the Spirit obtaining a practice of a cleaning of our old life, just clearing it up, what needs to be ended really depends on the sense of the Lord's life that's living within us. So you could tell people, I keep telling people in the world, you can't do this and you can't do that, can't do this, can't do that, but I don't tell them that without telling them that they can't do that unless there's a spiritual awakening within them. It depends on the sense of the Lord's light that enters into them, that begins living within them. Therefore, the sense of God's life in Christ living within us is really the basis for our ending of the past. You can't end the past unless the Lord is living in you. It's impossible, because you're a dead tree. And a dead tree cannot bear fruit, cannot do anything. Something miraculous has to happen to a dead tree if it is going to bring forth fruit. There has to be a supernatural thing happen to it. The supernatural thing is that the Lord enters into you with His Father by the Spirit. All three are one. And then you have a new life within that dead tree. But the dead tree, its life comes to an end because it's now alive. It no longer is dead, but it's alive now. So you're alive by virtue of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ, His Father, and the Holy Spirit itself, living in you. Then you're able to do the things of the Lord, the things that the Lord wants to do within you. Now, He doesn't want that old tree to do anything good or bad, because it can't. It can do evil in the eyes of the Lord, but the most evil thing is that it doesn't have life in it. But when the life enters into it, then it's able to do what the Lord wants it to do, because it's the Lord that's doing it. Amen?
Amen.
So we, our life was dead anyway, so we might as well give it up when the new life of Christ with His Father by the Spirit enters us. So we might as well just remain our body. The old deeds that we did remain dead now, because we couldn't do any godly thing or any spiritually good thing, spiritually godly thing. So just let it remain dead, because it was worthless anyway. It was a dead tree. And now we are able to put an end to the past. So I know, and I want you to know, that all the religions in the world are built upon their various religious rules and regulations, codes, and whatever they have. The followers live and behave according to these rules and regulations. And some of these rules and regulations are so satanic, it's unbelievable. But the Lord's salvation isn't like that at all. The salvation of the Lord through the regeneration power of the Holy Spirit living in and through us gives us a new life, a brand new life. It's a God is alive in us now. It gives us God's life living in our life. We must be willing to let our life yield to the living, the life of Christ in our spirit. Because of that fact, that we have such a new life living in us, we can now live by the power of God's life in us and behave in the presence of God through the sense of this new life that has entered into us. Again, which is God's life. This is the principle of all our living, is that we let God live His life in and through us. This is the main thing, this letting God live in us, because without the Holy Spirit, no one can be led to the Lord, and without the Holy Spirit, no one can enter heaven. If there's sin on a person's soul, you cannot enter heaven. And why? Because the Lord said so.
Amen.
And that should be good enough. Amen?
Amen.
So this is the main thing. Because of all our living as Christians, not professing Christians, but real Christians that have surrendered their old life and are allowing the Lord to live within us, our end of the past is also based on this principle. That's it. It's the life of God living in us. That's why the life of God is not going to live out our old life in us. He's not going to let you live out your old life, continue with that, and still live in you. He'll depart from you, and seven more demons worse than the ones that was cast out of you will enter into you. So he's not going to live out our old life in us. He's not going to live out our old life. He has a certain way to live, and he's going to do that, or you're not going to heaven. When a person is regenerated and obtains God's life, this life moves within us, causing us to sense that in our past there have been many, many things that we have done that are unrighteous, immoral, improper, perverted matters, and that all these matters, all these things, the evils that we have done, and even our entire old way of living, are altogether incompatible with the present Christian position in God, and God being living, working in us. Therefore, we proceed with this life, then I don't believe that you're really regenerated if you don't do that. So we proceed with this life, we continue it on to the end, Christian life. We continue with it. We have to continue. It says taking up the cross daily, daily denying ourselves, and not tiring, not being weary of well-doing, putting the past away with the inner essence of God in us on a daily basis, taking it one day at a time. Why? You shouldn't figure that you're going to have to do this for 10 or 15, 20 years, because you don't know that you're going to live another day. Just do it one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
And then pretty soon, 10 or 15 years of time goes on, that long, which I doubt, will expire, and if the Lord comes, whenever, you're going to be in heaven, because there's not one spot, one wrinkle, one blemish on your soul, which is spots. Or these spots, wrinkles, and blemishes are sins. That's what they're symbolic of. But if you don't realize these things, if there isn't anything in you that desires to change, and I'm talking about the old life, if you don't want to change that, to get rid of it, to start living according to the Lord, then I don't believe that you're really regenerated, because this just happens. You can see in Zacharias' life that he changed. And some people say that Jesus or the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles ever taught anything about the clearance of the former life, but the Bible says that they did. They did. So that's those people that are saying things like that are false. They're liars. Now, we have some testimonials here right now, and you'll be able to hear now. I've changed my life by way of living, because I was in nightclubs every night. I used to go down to all different parts of town where the places were open at night. When I was in New York, down at the Village, and different places like that. And I was in the music industry and promotional industry and whatever. You know, it was just one promotion after the other, one recording session after the other, one promo after another. Was nothing exciting happening. It was just same old, same old. But here's some testimonies so that you'll see that other people have had this same experience. There's millions of us. But brothers and sisters, we must continue on to the end. Go ahead, and where's the first one from?
From Newport, Arkansas.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings, teacher, and my brother in Christ. Please allow me a moment to tell you thank you for all the literature you have sent me. I am still distributing them to the other prisoners at my unit. Your words have helped me a great deal with my faith and beliefs. I have witnessed to many of my brothers, and I have seen the wonderful influence your words have had on unbelievers, both in a good and bad way. The good is because of your words, I have seen several of my brothers come to Christ. As for the bad, we have been mocked and accused of following the leader of a cult. It has come to a point of harassment by some of the officers here at my unit, but God will see me through. I would like to ask you to please send me a copy of your book, The Messiah. Thank you for your support. I will be up for parole in June or July. Please pray for me that I might be allowed to return to my family in North Central Arkansas. If you will allow me to, I would like to continue to distribute your newsletters and maybe, if possible, come to Alma and attend your services.
Well, we don't. Our church moved now to Fort Smith. Alma is just a short distance from Fort Smith. About it, the freeway is not busy. You could get to Alma in about 5 or 10 minutes, but we're in Fort Smith. We have a very large church. It's real nice. It's a school is in there, and then we have a basketball court and a place for people to exercise next door to it. And so you can join us. Yes, you could even actually, if you would like to, change your life and live a regenerated life. You could move in to the church, and it doesn't cost anything. We just let you come in there. Okay, and then what?
Well, sir, thank you for all you have done. God is truly with you, and you are a very blessed person. And again, thank you. Sincerely, Cody from Newport, Arkansas.
Okay, this is why the Bible says to take the helmet of salvation. Well, what is the helmet of salvation? Well, that means you have to put on the mind of Christ. You can't go into, because we're all called to war. We have been called into a battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And this means that we have to battle the enemy of our souls. And how do we battle? We battle with the Word of God. So we have to put on the helmet of salvation. You have to put on the mind of Christ. You can't go into the battlefield with a paper hat on. And he says, so put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And the sword, it says here that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Lord will not allow you to take any false doctrine into. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven with false doctrine or your own idea or your whatever you feel would do that. Doing good deeds, or you think yourself to be a good person, but we have to live by God's standards, and we can't even do that unless the Spirit is living in us, which is the sword of God, the Word of God. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's what I was saying at the beginning of this program, that if you don't have Spirit, zeal, to go up to the throne of the Lord, if there's, you can tell a spirited horse. Boy, they're just raring to go. You can see them prancing around and going, but you can see also a nag. And a nag can't have, and they don't have any admirers at all. The only one that has admires a nag is the glue factory, where they get sent and they use their bones and their hoofs to make glue with. But the Lord tells us if we're going to pray, and he says we have to pray always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in watching. How can we get to the throne of the Lord if we don't get there by his Spirit? And this is a capital S here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And that is verse 18, praying always with all prayer. Praying always, Lord. Yeah, this is a regenerated type of life now. Before, if you're not praying always, well, then you're still living your own life, and the Lord is not going to use a body that doesn't begin with the new life. Praying always with all, this is a reasonable duty. I mean, if you really love the Lord, then you should be there with him all the time, sitting in heaven with him. Amen?
Amen.
Your mind shouldn't be on the filth that you're thinking about and the degeneracy in war and fighting because of the lust of your flesh. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, that's the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means every day, every day, every day, taking up the cross on a daily basis. Get up, take up the cross, begin denying yourself, and get up there praying to the Lord, what kind of a day do you want this to be? Lord, I know, what do you want me to do? What is it? Because if we don't pray, we're not going to know. And if you don't want to know, then you don't want to know the Lord. Because the Lord is supposed to be the Lord of your life, not you. You're nothing but a hunk of dirt, and you're in your old body, and you're letting your body deter your mind, swerve from watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. And you're praying all the time for what? What do I pray for? Huh? What is it that we're supposed to pray for?
Huh? For the saints.
For all saints, not just the saint. All saints, every saint. And that's what the Lord meant in the book of Revelation when he said, you don't love me anymore and you don't love the saints. Because I can see that you're not praying for them. And if you're not praying for them, then you are not loving me anymore. You don't love me because you're not keeping my commandments. If you love me, he that says that he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar. A liar. And there's no truth. I'm the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And there's none of me in you. If you don't love the brethren to pray for them all the time, because they're always going to be attacked. We're going to be attacked all the time, just like this man said. Amen?
Amen.
He says, there's those in the prison there that attack him because they say that they're following a cult leader, meaning me. All right? And, of course, the Vatican calls everybody a cult that doesn't belong to the Catholic cult. But if we belong to the Catholic cult, then we are in the world's most evil cult. There isn't anything. They're responsible for every evil thing that's being done on this earth. They've started all the wars, so Satan is the head of that cult. They're powered, the Bible says, by Satan, by the devil. And so therefore, how could they be anything other than the world's most evil cult? And because they call the real Christians a cult. And they do everything they can to defame them. That matters little to me. I mean, you don't see me crying about it, but they say all these different things. I had Michelle, who's reading that testimony, say, they said that I put her husband out of the church and married her. Are we married?
No.
Did that happen?
No.
Did I put him out?
Yes.
But for what? For committing adultery and fornication, right?
Amen.
Because if I did not put adulterers and fornicators out of this church, the Lord would put an end to this church.
Amen.
He said that we're supposed to be zealous or he'll take our church away. Or he'll spew us out of his mouth. And so I have to do what the Lord said, and that offends people that like to fornicate and commit adultery and take drugs and lie and steal and cheat. I have to put all those people out because the Lord wants a holy church. Well, you say, you don't have any mercy. The Lord doesn't have any mercy. He has less mercy on people that refuse to repent and that call Christians a cult. Because what you're saying is that the Holy Spirit that lives in us is a cult, that it's of the devil. And there's no forgiveness for that because that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You're calling that which lives in me a cult? When it's the Lord with his Father by the Spirit, and I'm consecrated to the Lord, and I'm speaking out boldly? Listen to Paul here when he's talking. He says, pray for all the saints with all supplication, all prayer. And now he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly against this Antichrist devil church, against every evil thing on this earth, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, if I don't open my mouth boldly, then you're not going to know the mystery of the gospel. And that's what Paul said. He says, I want to pray that I maybe will open my mouth boldly to make known, because the gospel is not known to the Vatican. You may think it does because they've got Christ nailed to a cross like he's dead. But Jesus was died on the cross. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead. Okay? Now, you're not supposed to make any statues. You're not to pray to anybody but God through Jesus Christ. You're never to pray to Mary. That's a sin that angers the Lord alone. Say, well, people have seen the visions of her, and they see statues bleeding. You know, there was a con artist in Cleveland who pretended to be a born-again Christian, and all of a sudden there was blood that was coming down on his white suit, and he says, behold. Well, they ran upstairs, some police officers, and found a man up there with a squirt gun full of chicken blood, and they were squirting him, and he was going to cut his suit up into a lot of pieces and sell the pieces for a lot of money, because he was saying that chicken blood was the blood of Jesus. To me, this man, you know, that to me is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So that he might let you people know the mystery of God. Because it is a mystery. If somebody doesn't tell me, because the reason it's a mystery, because you're living in a carnal world, and the spiritual things are not known unto you unless there's a preacher. How will you know if there's not a preacher? Which I am an ambassador. I'm an ambassador, Paul says, from the kingdom of heaven. And I'm in bonds. I'm in prison. He's in bonds, and I was in prison too, and Jesus was in prison. So now the Vatican is saying that I'm an ex-con and also a cult leader. Now, if you believe that that's what they're saying about Paul, that's what they're saying about Jesus, and they're still saying it to this day, that he was a phony, but everyone in the world, let them be called a phony, but the Lord is the truth. I saw him in vision. I would not be saved today if I didn't have all the supernatural experiences that I've had. We have another testimonial here. Go ahead.
From Nigeria, Africa. Dear Father in the Lord, Pastor Tony Alamo, based on conviction of the Holy Spirit and biblical evidence of what the Holy Spirit is using you for, you are the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Truly, you are turning many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, turning the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Right, so because it was a mystery to them before, but because of the fact that I've been speaking boldly against the evil of this world and telling people the mystery of the gospel, now they're being saved.
Amen.
So that should be evidence enough that I'm not a cult.
Amen.
Okay? And I am definitely an ex-con. I was put in there for, supposedly, by a bunch of false witnesses, that I was tax fraud. It was like a white collar crime, but that was so false it was unbelievable. I've never, ever cheated anybody. Never. Not in my Christian life. Okay, then what?
Prophet Elijah, a prophet of restoration to the nation of Israel, was known in his generation by God's word. Both of you are identical because of revelation knowledge divinely given to you allows you to flow in the Spirit. This outpouring experience, these no-nonsense, uncompromising messages are second to none. I am convinced that this is the only deliverance hope that would ultimately bring restoration to this decadent, sick society and end-time lukewarm Church of Jesus Christ. Your messages are uncommon and should fill all libraries in the world. In these closing days, the biblical gospel must be preached for a witness to allow God to judge this wicked and perverse generation. When I first came across your newsletter message over 6 years ago, I rejoiced because it comforts my heart that a people of likewise faith can still be found and not a soothsayer who preaches sweet nothings. Your strict adherence to the doctrines of the scriptures and being dogmatic to God's commandments are commendable and reliable. The end-time blind theologians call this legalism to cover up their blindness against the Word of God.
Well, I'd rather be legal than illegal. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but the Bible is, everything about the Lord is judgment. Everything that he is legal. You must be legal. He even had to come into the world to be legal, because you can't buy anything unless you pay for it. And so he, in order to pay for us, came into the world and legally gave his life to pay for us to be out of bondage, out of spiritual bondage, so that we could be made one in Christ Jesus. Somebody had to pay the price for all the sins that we've committed, and Jesus paid the full price. And so he legally bought us out of the hands of Satan. But if people don't want to come out of the bonds of Satan, they don't want to come out of him, well then, stay there. And you'll, because God gives you the option to receive what he has done for you, or to reject it so that your soul can spend eternity in hell. So in essence, your will is to either serve the Lord or go to hell in the lake of fire. So you're the one that's making that decision. Only you can make that decision. God doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want to force us to do it, but he gives you the option to accept him and live a regenerated life, a godly, spirit-filled life, or to go to hell in the lake of fire. And you're not going to live long. None of us do. And you're going to go out to meet God. And whether you want to see him or not, you're going to. And whether you want to be judged or not, you're going to. And if I were you, I'd ask the Lord, if he's telling us the truth, Father, tell us. If he's telling the truth, we will read the Bible and we will do what the Bible says. And if you just show us. Well, I prayed that before, and because I didn't believe, and then the Lord revealed himself to me so many different ways that it would be impossible for me to stop serving the Lord unless I went crazy. If I went crazy, I would go to hell. If I stopped serving the Lord, if I came down off the cross, if I began living the old life again, I know that it would be just dessert for me to go to hell in the lake of fire. And so none of us can have any excuse when we know the mystery of the gospel. We know the truth, and when you know the truth will set you free. If you want the truth to set you free, and if you don't want to be free from the old life, if you want to live a corrupt life, you know you're not young, any younger than you were before, and you're not going to have the kind of life that you had anyway before, because you're old now, and you're not as appealing to people. You may get a few stragglers, but you're not going to be that appealing to anybody anymore, any more than I am. All right? And so there's nothing to live for but the Lord. Amen? If you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so finish this off.
Your revelations are in harmony with God's word. Continue to flourish, be fruitful, and replenish the earth in this harvest hour. Amen and amen. Let us join hands together to fulfill God's vision and mission. I have sent to you our plans for 2007, taking 7 editions, Ministerial ReSharpers Conference, to 7 cities in Nigeria and beyond. We have determined to use your literature as a conference manual and to give, if possible, all the 3-parts manual of Tony Alamo to all the editions attendees. And, of course, the certificates will be issued in your name. Thank you very much for listening to your fellow servant in the Lord's vineyard, your son in Christ, Dr. Samuel, from Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, we're getting all kinds of people calling up and stating that they are being knocked off the air because the Vatican is threatening. You know, one time I had a store in Nashville, not too long ago, in my saved life. And it was the number one store because we're doing clothing for all the big, most of the major superstars and a lot of other ones that are not so major. People like Michael Jackson and people like the Beatles. We did clothes for them. We did clothing for so many people, Dolly Parton and Hulk Hogan and Mr. T and all that. But so we were running that store in Nashville, and that's how we got to know so many major stars. Well, the Vatican came in because I was preaching the gospel, and they shut it down, and they took me into court for wanting to kidnap a judge, and then also the thing about this false tax charge. All both of them were false. So they showed pictures of me being arrested in Tampa, Florida, with this tie-dye T-shirt on. And they say that I was arrested for wanting to kidnap a federal judge, Judge Morris Arnold. But they never mentioned that they took me to Fort Smith in a Learjet. There was a crowd of people there to see me being escorted from the Lear over to the Van Buren jail there. And the woman asked me, as though she didn't know, I was his headlines all the time there, and my picture was strewn about. She said, "What is your name, sir?" She had her hands in the air ready to type it. And I told her, "Porky Pig," with a double G. She said, "Now, Mr. Alamo, we know what your name is, but I'm supposed to ask this question." I said, "How stupid." Okay? But at any rate, I won that case. But they never say that I won that case. They just say I was arrested for it. So you can see how twisted and how slanted the media is. Mm-hmm. Oh, they just do that all the time about me. And then they put out all this false information on me. And the only reasons for it, they know they can't swerve my soul from being saved. But what they do is they're attempting to destroy your soul, because they know that you're listening, you're watching these different boards on the website, and they just take every shot they can. It's because I'm saying that they're the cause of every evil thing that's on the face of this earth, because God said so. And that they're from Rome. And so, of course, they have to come up with something. But if anybody really investigated it thoroughly, I mean, if you just don't like to... But we're living in an age of time when people like to read smut. That's why these different tabloids are so popular. They just say anything. Larry Hagman, who's a friend of mine, they said that he was nailing little birds on trees alive. And so he sued him, and he got $500,000 of them. But that doesn't matter. They $500,000 to them is nothing, because they have hundreds of millions of people watching, buying their paper. But this just goes without saying that when we're telling the truth about them, so that you don't listen to what they're saying, the things on the media, they're so false, and the Vatican is so evil. And then also I had a record on the national charts. It was number 50 on the national charts. And they called the Cashbox magazine and told George, the owner, they said, "If you don't take him off the charts, we're going to blow your place off the map." Now, is that a Christian church that's doing that?
No.
The Osmond brothers were in my store, and they wanted to buy the clothes, but they really, I guess, couldn't afford it. They says, "If you'll give us, make new suits for us and everything, what we'll do is we'll do a gig at your restaurant in Alma, Arkansas." And I says, "No, all right, that's fine," because he said, "We have to go to Hot Springs to do a gig just about the same time, but we'll be at your place first." So I said, "Fine." And then just about a week when I started advertising that they were going to be there, the manager of the Osmond brothers called me and says, "Tony, please let us out of the contract. We've had at least $500,000 calls from Catholics saying that they're going to kill us if we do that gig for you. They don't want anybody to know that a lot of people love you and like you and want to do things for you. But the Osmonds are so frightened, and as the Bible says, the fearful and unbelieving will not make it into the kingdom of heaven." And I told him the scripture, and I said, "Tell that to the Osmond brothers. They're not going to do anything to them. And even if they were of the Lord, they wouldn't have to fear any evil, because even if they did kill you, you'll be right in heaven. That's what we're trying to get. That's where we're trying to go anyway." Amen?
Amen.
All right. So you have more there? Okay. So they taught that you become a new man, the different Jesus and the apostles. Old things are put away. Your old life is put away, and you have a new life. And that we follow the Lord in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In other words, we let Him do the living for us. All these show us that the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul and the other apostles taught these things that I'm telling you right now, that you must put an end to your old past. And part of that old past is you believing the Antichrist machine, which is the Vatican, the world government, and the media. Old things, you got to put these old things away and don't believe what they say, but believe what the Lord says. You have to put away the old life. The carnal life is got to be put away. We have a new spiritual life. These people say things. They say they didn't teach any rules demanding what one must do to end his past. But they did. They talked of the resurrection of the Holy Spirit from the old way of life to the life that's new, the life of God in Christ, ending, putting an end to our old life. Then there were the lives, L-I-V-E-S, of the Ephesians, and also the Zacchaeus life, and the other lives that they put down everything that they had in the book of Acts and gave to the poor. They gave everything to the apostles so that they could distribute the things that they had in their old life. They weren't concerned at all about money or goods or their houses or anything. They gave it all up to live the new life in Christ Jesus. So when the Lord enters into you, you have a feeling toward the unrighteousness that you've done in your past, in your old life, and the unclean things that you've done in the past, and all your old ways of living, putting anyone before God, such as yes, you did before, like mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, girlfriend, boyfriend, anybody, just any kind of friend. So, therefore, all the true Christians in the Bible put everything to an end. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to put everything to an end. I see that my time is up. And the way that you can begin is to say this prayer to the Lord to become, have the Spirit of God living in you and have your old sins washed away. And then you start going through the process of living a godly life in the human body. So start out by saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now what you do is just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord for saving your soul. Another thing, get baptized, fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to show people in the world that you put an end to your old life. And then be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can enter into the ministry of the Lord. And so right now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 367 or any other program that they like. And also that they can receive literature that I've written and a Bible if they haven't got the money to buy one. And Messiah books that tell us of the 333 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth and in the Old Testament. So go ahead, Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord, so that in this dark world, the light will shine. The light is the Word of God into your heart and make you a person that will have the power to be able to leave, to set aside, to put an end to your old life and become a new creature on a daily basis. It's all about life, and it's all about, the Lord says, to pray without ceasing. And here's the life choir to sing the prayer song, Pray Without Ceasing. Thank you.